Stories are great, aren't they? They're one of the things that you can remember really well. One of the great things about singing songs as well is like the kind of old the folk songs that used to be sung. They used to hide truths within the songs so that when you sing them, that you'll remember them. So it was a great way, actually, before we had computers and things like that, to tell stories, to sing songs. And so we packed them full of truth and silly things as well from time to time. But I love as well when we sing, you know, I love that song that that we believe in God the Father. We've got a few songs at the moment that are declaring who God is. Isn't it great when you sing a song that you can take it away with you and you can sing it while you're brushing your teeth, kind of like, you know, because you take stuff like that with you. And we hope that what you take away from here on a Sunday will take you into Monday, into Tuesday, into Wednesday. And so we're in this series at the moment where we're looking at the book of James. It is the best named book of the Bible by far. I'm not biased at all because my name is James, but it is a good book. It is the good book. So, oh dear. Right. We're going to have to really work on this. So I need a little bit of feedback, okay? Even if it's really terrible, then please do help me, or else it's going to be a very tedious morning. So no, I'm joking. So we're in the book of James. James is he's a great wisdom writer. I think one of the things that's been fantastic in this series is actually discovering how much wisdom there is in the New Testament through reading the book of James. And I feel as though I am James, but I feel like I'm with James on this journey, what he's been teaching us. And I hope that every one of you have been listening to the podcast as well and catching up on stuff that you might have been on holiday for, because there is so much substance in this series. You don't want to miss any of it. And we hope that every week we're imparting wisdom, imparting principles, imparting all sorts of different things, because wisdom is something that takes with you. It's something that lasts. It's like the song. It's like the story. It's something that goes with you, and it will hopefully influence and impact the decisions that you make. And we hope that this series will help you engage your brain. So that you can think and actually process. Because one of the things about principles is they're not always as specific to your life. And so I want you to think about, how does this apply to my life? And then how, God, are you going to help me through this? And it's awesome. I think it says in James 1 verse 5 as well that God gives generously to those who ask for wisdom. And so we are asking, and God is going to give generously this morning. Is that all right? So the topic this morning is wisdom and planning. If you're reading from, why don't we turn to James 4, James chapter 4, verse 13. Talks about boasting about tomorrow. Wisdom and boasting about tomorrow. We're talking about planning and not boasting about tomorrow. Why don't we read together from James 4, verse 13. It's on the screen as well. It will be up there. So it's James 4, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Good question. Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, and we will live and do this or that, will do it. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own plans, and all such things is boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it. Right, let's pray. We'll get into this. Let's unpack it. Jesus, Lord, will you help me speak this morning with the words that you have from your heart, from your mouth? Lord, let us hear today. Let us be searching and seeking after wisdom. Lord, help us as we plan big things in our lives. Lord, as there's things in our minds, Lord, that we're thinking about right now. God, help us as we plan, as we put you in the center of our decisions. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have you ever done something that you know you should have checked with someone first, i.e. your wife, before that you've done it? Does anybody, the wives are raising husbands' hands as we speak now. So I'm going to tell you a little story about something that happened, and you know, we're okay. Everything's fine now. We're sorted. One thing I did discover was the wrath of God is strikingly similar to the wrath of wife, in the fact that you just don't mess with either of them if you do something you're not supposed to do. Let me put it in a bit of context. So we've got a treadmill in our house, and it's just right in front of a beige blank wall. So obviously it's the most inspiring run you've ever done. You know, you can visualize all sorts of things while you're running. You know, you're singing hill songs, we are running, and you know, all you've got in front of you is a beige wall. So I thought, so Sam was out doing some shopping, and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to surprise her. Now, word of wisdom, men, that is a very dangerous idea. You know, if you surprise your wife or your girlfriend, do not do anything practical. You know, last week I talked about for Sam's birthday, bought a sat nav. Now that was really dangerous, as you found out. But if you're going to surprise your wife, don't make it practical. Women like impractical things, things like flowers, you know, the chocolates, shoes. They're really impractical. Sam isn't even wearing any, so they're really impractical gifts to buy. So I thought, right. I've got some time here. I'm gonna do something, and I want to. You know, when I go to the gym, I see the big widescreen TVs, and I thought, let's try and make this area look more like a super cool gym. So we only had like a little 12-inch TV. So I thought, you know, if the treadmill's right up to the wall, it gives that perspective that it's widescreen because it's right in front of you. So I thought, if I put the TV here, but I thought I'm a creative guy. I don't want to go spend any money because I'm a cheapskate sometimes. So I thought, what have we got in the house that will do to prop this TV up? So I had a little walk around the house, and I was trying to put my creative head on. And I thought, lounge, the bookshelf, that'd be a great plan. So I thought, right, Sam's out, and I had to do this all by myself. So I take the books off the bookshelf, all around all the way to the other side of the kitchen, put the books down, get the DVDs, and I did this. I was running. I was sweating more doing this than I would do on the treadmill. And I get in all the books and everything, and then the you know, men, when you move things by yourself, there's always a certain stance that you move with, isn't it? So because I was doing this by myself, I didn't want to drag it. I wanted to carry it, you know. I wanted to do it properly, so arm one side, leg on the other, arm, pecs in. Then you kind of push like that, don't you? Kind of like, move the bookshelf all the way into the, you feel really hard, don't you? So set it up, got it ready, put all the books back onto the shelf, stacked them all really good, had the TV up like that, and I stood back and I admired my creation. And I said, it is good. And I was hoping that when Sam comes home that she'll say, it is very good. At that moment, I felt the Lord prompting me to leave very quickly. I don't know, I'm a very spiritual man, so I felt I'll obey what it is the Lord is commanding me to do. Leave. Very quickly. So I thought I'd go and get a coffee or do something like that. So when she comes back, she'll have the surprise that she's looking for. I got a phone call. Wasn't the phone call I was expecting. Needless to say, I ended up putting it all back. Very quickly, put it back in the room. Now, man, whenever you move any item of furniture in the house, you need permission. Because, you know, we have plans, but they have bigger plans for the house. And so it is wisdom to know what your wife wants before you do it. So in Jesus' name, we said, amen. Preach it, yes. You know, we all have plans, right? We have plans, and we all want to do stuff with our life. And you know, there's a small example of something that's a small thing in our lives. Remember, it's a small thing. And but God, He is interested in not just the small things. God is interested in the small, the minute, the almost insignificant things in our life. But when we're making plans in our life, actually, God wants us to give Him our life plan. He wants to know what we want to do with our lives, because God is interested in us. He knows everything about us. So it's not as though we can hide anything from God. God loves us. God wants us to include Him in what we do. And, you know, we need to share our plans with God. But the thing is, God, He already knows our plans. But the thing is, He wants to work in partnership with us. He actually wants to be able to invest himself in the decisions that we're making so that we don't just make a decision all by ourselves in isolation over here. And then when God, when we think about, oh, what would God think? We think, oh, crumbs, I've got to put it all back again and I've got to sort it out. God wants us to include him from the beginning so that his plans will actually influence all the things that we desire in our heart. So that when we commit ourselves to the Lord, we delight in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. And I think when we pray, when we commit those things to God, he's expecting us to be open to him, to be ready to share with him. And it's massively important because, you know, God knows what we need even before we ask of it. It says that in Matthew 6. And so it is so important from our heart's perspective that we're saying, God, what do you want me to do with this? And we're opening it up, we're offering it to him. You know, our lives are short. James says that our life is like a fog. We're here for a moment and then it's gone. Did you miss that? Oh dear, did you miss that? Oh, never mind. So if our lives are short, then we need to give God every breath, every heartbeat. It means that there's nothing more important than actually discovering what God's plan is for our life. You know, Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 21, we should have it on the screen as well. He says that my life is to live for Christ, but to die is gain. He says that if my life is short, then actually my whole life is to live for God. Actually, there's nothing more important. There's nothing greater than to live for Christ. But at the end of my life, man, there's so much blessing. There's actually something even greater on its way. And so we need to know that actually to live for Christ is important. It's incredible. It means that discovering God's plan for our lives, asking him to reveal portions of the plan for our life, because he'll never always give us the big picture, you know, the full thing, because that would probably frighten us at times. He reveals it as though a lamp to our feet as we follow the path. He's just revealing the next steps that we need to take. And he's leading so that we can trust in him. You know, because planning for tomorrow is one thing, but understanding that the future is actually mostly out of our control, that is actually wisdom. Yeah. Knowing that we can't plan and secure the future is wisdom, which means that when James says that, you can't say, we're going to go and do this, we're going to make a profit, we're going to build a business, we're going to do that. Because tomorrow, who knows what's going to happen? But if God wills it, then it will happen. You see, if God's got a plan in mind and he's applying that plan to your life, he will make it happen. Because if God wills it, nothing will detract from it. I can make the best plans. I can hope for the best. But to be honest, I've got absolutely no idea what the next 5 or 10 minutes are going to contain. I've got plans on here. But I hope that what it is that God has for me is even better than what it is that I planned. And so this is why James is warning us to be careful about boasting about tomorrow, because it's really up to God. It says in Proverbs 16 verse 19, we can make our own plans, but it's the Lord who determines our steps. We can make our own plans, but it's actually God who decides, is this going to happen for this reason, for this way? So that means that when we need to trust in God for our future. Because if it's God who's determining our steps, we need to trust in him, not to trust into our own plans. I want to be somebody who is full of God's plans for my life. I've got dreams and aspirations. I think there's something incredibly exciting about making a plan. Even making a plan for the day. What are we going to do today? Hey, we're going to do this. That's exciting. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about this? You know, some of the big things. Where are we going to work? Where are we going to live? Who are we going to marry? What are these different things? What it is? I'm excited about plans. But I'm even more excited that when I give my plans to God, that he's able to shape them and do something far more incredible with them, so that when I do what he asked me to do, it will be fruitful. It will be filled with blessing. And it means that actually I'm in line with what God wants for my life. And you see, God has a plan for everyone. He doesn't leave anybody out. He's not just a plan for the pastor, or a plan for a primary school teacher, or a plan for a youth worker, or a plan for... God has a plan for every single person, no matter whether you feel that you're significant in the area of influence that you are. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, he has a plan for you. You know, these are some great things about the plans of God. His plans will never fail. You see, God sees the whole picture. He has the widest set of resources available. It's just better planning than we could ever do. It's kind of like running in a treadmill. All you can see is what you can see in front of you. But God, he's got an open plan office. You know, he can see the whole thing. He's actually helping us. And so when we submit to our plans, we know that when he plans for it, it won't fail. His plans, as it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, are to prosper us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. So that means he wants you to succeed. He's got good things in store for you, plans to give you a hope. So it means that when you get to rock bottom, his plans are able to pick you up and put you back on your feet, ready to take on the world. You know, his plans are there to give us a future so that even when we get to the end of our lives or the end of the point where we just can't manage, the future is bright because actually we've got a heavenly calling awaiting for us. But even right now, our future is so exciting because, you know, what we've got ahead of us here as Valley Church is so enthusiastic because it's this future that God's got for us. And as we follow corporately God's plan for this church, man, he's going to take us into new areas, new realms. This building will not be big enough to fill the people that want to engage with God. And we're believing and praying that people who've not yet made that decision can place their trust and their reliance in God. One of the great things about God's plans is that it's not based on human understanding, which means it's not limited. God can see and take us to places that we've never even thought before. You know, even the best chess players who could think maybe 6, 10, 15 turns ahead, and they can map it all in their mind, God can do it in less than a millisecond. Every combination, every choice, so it means his plans are always the best. God also knows our future. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, he's the end. That means he's always is, he always was, and he always will be. It means that he knows the fulfillment of the decisions that we're going to make today that will affect tomorrow. Tomorrow's decisions will affect the next day and to our end, the future. And that's awesome because God sees you as your finished result now. We can't boast that. I can hope this is how I would become, but actually God knows who you become. He sees you with the unlimited unlocked potential that you have. So it means that you, in his mind, in his eyes, are awesome. You're able to achieve all the things that you ever wanted to achieve, to do the things, whatever it is, but God actually, his plan, hit the way that he sees you. Oh, he's so, you know, like when a parent looks at the child and you can think that, man, you've got so much potential. When we see people in church, you think you've got so much potential. God's looking at you now saying, you have so much potential. If you follow my plans, I'm going to help you get to where you're going. Because if God sees our potential, then that means that he has a plan to help us fulfill our potential. Just turn to your next door neighbor and say, I have potential. Tell them, you have potential. We all have potential. Because God sees something in us more than we see ourselves. And if God has plans for us, then the question is this all the time. What are God's plans? What, God, do you will for my life? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? It's the question I'm asking myself almost every day. God, what do you want me to... You know, there's common sense things like, what socks do I wear? But God, where do you want me to go? I think it's a big question, especially when we're coming into seasons where jobs are changing, work's changing, there's all sorts of things happening. People might get redundant or a relationship breaks down. Or God, what is it that you want me to do? And what I want to be able to help you do now is to give you 2 points that might be able to help you clarify some of your thinking. But like I said before, I can't speak from here directly into each one of your lives. Why don't you apply some of this to your life? Ask God yourself. God, what do you want me to do? Is that okay? I'm preaching to myself right now. I'm building myself. I want to build into you. So these are the two things I want to think about. The first one is submit your plan. And the second thing is follow his plan. Submit your plan. Follow his plan. So let's look what it says in James 4 verse 13. Just read to 16 here. It says, look here, you who say today and tomorrow we're going to go to a certain town and we'll stay there for a year. We'll do business there. We'll make a profit. How do you know what your life is going to be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to do this, then we will live and do that, this and that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plan, and all such things of boasting are evil. You know, we've got plans, but so does God. And ultimately, his plans are better for us because they take so much more into account. But the thing is, are you willing to submit your plans to God? Now, I've said God already knows our plans, so it's nothing new to him. But what is new, what is kind of news to him is that from our hearts, we're saying, God, I surrender this to you. God can do far more with a surrendered heart than he can do with a stubborn heart. Because when we say, God, I'm not doing this. I'm going to do it my own way. You're not going to follow the life, the plan that God has for you. But if you say to yourself, God, if you want me to do that, I will do it. Or God, is this in line with your thinking? Am I heading on the right path right now? Will you tell me? Will you give me some feedback? Will you help me? God, if I'm going a completely different direction, will you turn me around? There's all sorts of different ways that we can look at what it is that God's wanting us to do. I think of it like this. You know, when you have an exam or you have an essay, for those of us who've been to school, I think that's everybody in this room. You have an essay and you submit your essay. If you get it done in good time to your tutor to check. I've just been doing a Bible college degree, so I've been doing a lot of essays, and there's been a lot of checking. And so they get your notes, they check through it, they give you feedback so that you can then make a difference in what you had in the first place. You see, when you come to take the test, it's you who's got to make the choice. And so you could submit your plan, submit your essay to the tutor, they give you some phenomenal feedback. But then if you just decide to choose what you had already, what was the point in the feedback? So some of us might say, God, what do you want me to do? God says, go over there, do this. And you go, no, God, I'm not doing that. Well, a surrendered heart, somebody who could submit their plans to God, actually, sometimes God's plans look crazy. They don't seem to work on paper. They really don't. Sometimes they're a little bit last minute, God, just letting you know. But God's plans are perfect, and they're perfect for you. And actually, there's so many great stories that come out of God's plans. You know, we'd be stuck as sermon illustrations if we didn't have times where we've submitted ourselves to God, times where God has so much in store for you. And it says in Proverbs 19, verse 21, it says, you can make many plans, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. I made lots of plans when I was an early Christian. I remember saying to God, there's a number of things I won't do. there was a number of things that I will do. And a few things that I said I won't do was, God, I won't live by faith. I know that sounds very kind of heretical and you'll burn me at the stake later. But I said, God, I'm not going to be a volunteer. I don't want to work as a volunteer. So God had different plans. So I've been a volunteer now for quite some time. I was a volunteer youth worker for 2 years, and then we ended up doing stuff here. I still work in a voluntary capacity as well. And so I gave those plans to God, and God had different plans, and I ended up following God's plans in the end because I had to say, God, I'm all right. You win. I'll do it. And I submitted myself, God, okay, if that's your plan for me, then I'll do it. We'll work it out as we go along. I said to God that I'd never go to uni. I didn't want to do a degree because I like academic stuff, but to do a degree as well, I thought, no, that's too far for me. I said, God, I'm not going to do a degree. So God punished me by... I ended up doing a 6-year Bible college degree part-time. So always say to God that you're willing to do stuff, or else he will double the length of time in which you do it. I tell you, the blessings though that has come through that, from working part-time as a pastor, doing part-time work as well, and then also learning Bible college material alongside that, I feel like it's allowed me to apply everything straight away. But I said to God, all right, if this is what you want me to do, then I'll do it. We'll figure it out as we go along. I said to God that there's certain people that I just won't work with. But there was a little pipe up from there. But what God has done in my life, as he said, I've said, right, God, I'm yours. I'm just going to do what you need to do. And he has created in me a heart for people like I've never experienced before. Even within the last 4 or 5 years, God has been developing, and he's continually developing in me the heart of God within me. And so I want to say to you, are you submitting your plans to God? Because if you're not, then you'll end up doing them anyway at some point. The feedback that God gave me, I found it in a number of different ways. One way to start off was, does it line up with Scripture? Do the plans that I have actually line up with what the Bible says? Because that's a good starting place. So if I'm going to do something really sinful, then it's probably not going to be something God wants me to do. So that narrows my choices down a little bit. One thing I'd say to God is, God, would you speak to me? Will you tell me what your plans are? And when I pray, I allow the Holy Spirit to have his kind of quiet whisper in my heart. And, you know, I've experienced God. I don't know whose voice it was. It wasn't Sam's voice, but I heard a voice one time when I was in my bedroom and I was asleep. And a voice woke me up. Said, are you all right? I woke up and I looked, and it was a man's voice, and it was a nice, soft, calm voice. And he said, are you all right? I thought, yeah, I'm all right. I'm late. I'm all right. I'm getting up late, but I'm all right. And the window was shut. The door, you know, Holly's not got a voice like that either. So it was, and I thought, man, that was a cool voice. I'd love to hear that voice. You know, I'd love to hear that kind of stuff more often. But it was calming, and it was helpful, and it was yeah. Thanks for getting me up. You're in my new alarm clock, God. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit can sometimes speak to you in deep down, so that you just know. You just have that sense of feeling. It's like if you're looking for a new house. The moment that you step into that house, you feel that's the one. Or you meet that person, and you think she's the one. There's some, not to say that God speaks in all that sort of way, but when you're submitting your plans to God and you're expecting a response, he will speak to you. You can speak to wise Christians as well, people who know, who will be able to help you make good decisions, which doors are opening for you. A real practical example was when Sam was looking for a job, and she just finished her teaching degree, and applied for lots of different things. There's only a small amount of applications, maybe about 5 applications, and she applied for this job. And it was only later that we realized she spelled the head teacher's name wrong on the front of the application. And like, they're brutal when it comes to the primary school teaching things. They just throw them away. Anyway, she got an interview, got a phone call. She went for the interview. And that week, she found out later on that she got the job. And we spoke to the head teacher afterwards, and he said, yeah, we'd actually had a round of applications before this, about 4 or 5 months before, and we didn't find the right person. But when we saw you, you're the right person for this job. Sam didn't tell him at that time she spelled his name wrong on it. But isn't it right? You know, when God has a plan for you, you can submit something, and then actually, if he wills it, it will happen. And even if you make a mistake, even if you mess up through the process, if God wants you to be there, he will jolly well make sure that you get there. And he will actually bless you. And we have been blessed so much as a family. Maybe that relates to you as well. But we need to submit our plans to God, because our heart is to honor him and to see what he's got to say to us. And so the second thing is this. We then need to follow his plan. Not follow our plan. We've submitted our plan to him. So now he's made edits, additions, changes. Now that's his plan. He owns that plan. And now he gives that plan back to us. And now the the journey is how we then relate to that plan. And it says in verse 17, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it. So if God gives you a plan, you know you're supposed to do it, then you are sinning by not doing what it is that God wants you to do. And that's basically is kind of ignoring the parental advice, that the parents know the best thing for you. God is our Heavenly Father. He knows what is best for us. Once you know what God's will is for your life, once you get that even vague general direction for your life, then you've got to follow that plan. Stick to the plan. You actually have to follow through on what God, what you have submitted to God and He's given back to you. We need to follow it through to the end, to keep checking with God throughout the whole process. Are we heading in the right direction? Are we still going in the right direction? It's like keep checking a map, making sure, are we in the right direction? Because sometimes, for some of us who are laid back, we might be waiting in our room for that spiritual brush of an angel's wing or for a magic pig to fly across the sky before we say, God, that's the sign. You know, we need to know what is God wants us to do. And even the very basic thing is to make Jesus known in this world. Jesus is the reason why we have all this hope and excitement in Valley Church, in every church, because He is awesome. And what He's achieved for us is life transforming. And so even if our purpose literally was to be wherever we were and to help people know Jesus, that's a great plan. But if God's got something more specific in mind for you, then when He gives you that indication, go for it. It's kind of a bit like feeding Holly sometimes, or feeding a child. We sometimes struggle to get the spoon in the first place. So me and my mum, one time we were in Morris's trying to feed her, and we had egg mayonnaise on one spoon and we had chocolate cake on the other. So we went in with the chocolate cake first, and as she opened her mouth, we shoved the egg mayonnaise into her mouth. I've got it on video as well, for any of you who'd like to see that. It was a very proud moment. But sometimes, yeah, it's not child abuse, by the way. It's but sometimes that first spoonful, it's hard to get in. But we've discovered with Holly that once she gets the first mouthful of egg mayonnaise, that she loves egg mayonnaise or whatever it is that she's eating. It's just getting that first bit going. And I think when we're engaging with God, we know the first step of our plan. It is literally taking that first step, getting through the door, maybe taking the next couple of steps, get used to it. And then before you know it, you're so wrapped up with what it is that God's doing in your life. You wouldn't want anything else anyway, because it's so cool. I was when I was at school, when I was at year 9 at school, I felt I had a dream to join the police. And I said to my dad, I had this revelation. I wasn't even a Christian. I just felt as though I wanted to join the police. I remember being sat in the cinema watching a film with my dad. And I said, Dad, I know what I want to do. I want to join the police. He said, great, son, that's awesome, fantastic. Well, words to that effect. And he said, well, let's help you do it. So when I was at school, I chose my options around kind of police-orientated type stuff. So when I went to college as well, I did law, psychology, IT, and PE. And they worked really well, but I still wanted to join the police. I still wanted to be more specific. So I did a BTEC National in Public Services, which is all to do with the police, fire, ambulance, all that kind of stuff, army. I've done that many assault courses now and dislocated my shoulders that many times doing those things. But, you know, that was something that I wanted to do. And when I became a Christian, when I was in my second year at college, I said, God, this is my dream. This is my plan. I'd love to join the police. And so I didn't feel any kind of feedback or indication from God saying, I want you to do something else. So what I did was I pursued that. So I applied for the police specials, which is the voluntary police service. So you can get a bit of experience. And I was 18 and a half, so I could apply. So I filled in the paperwork and I managed to I got through the first round. That's cool. So I got to go to the Hutton headquarters, which was awesome. And I sat down and did the exam and I failed the exam. God, did you not want me to join the police, to be a police special? Well, I failed the exam, so that was a door closed in my book there, and I couldn't retake it for another 6 months. But what happened was, because that door was closed, another one had opened. I discovered that there was a youth work opportunity over at Forward Free Methodist Church, and I needed some time, and I didn't want to go to uni, so I thought I would do something else with my time, so I became an intern. That's where I met Ed and Michelle, really got involved in their team, and I've been working with them ever since. I've got to tell you, I've never joined the police. I've been a Christian for about 12 years from making that decision, but I've never joined the police because I felt as though God was leading me to where I needed to be, but he actually had a much better plan for me. And what he did was he opened so many other doors. My funnel was the police, right? So that was what my mind was on. But actually God, even before I'd made that decision to become a Christian, he knew my heart. He knew that actually this is necessary training, James, for you to get to where you need to go to. Actually, I've got a massive plan for you, James. All you need to do is submit yourself to me and I'll make it happen for you. And I'm on this journey, as with each and every one of you, whatever your dream is, if you think, man, I'd want to be an astronaut, well, pursue what it takes to be an astronaut. And as long as God doesn't tell you no, then, or it's just, there's just no way, whatever it is, you know, as long as the doors keep closing, God will open the doors for you to take the steps that you need to be. And we're living in a period right now, Sam and I, where we keep asking God, what is your plan? What is your plan? This is an open door, right? We'll go through this. If it closes, okay, we'll try something else. And we're not freaked out as much as we used to be. I am a freak outer at the best of times, especially when it comes to God's plans, because sometimes they are just that little touch last minute. But that's the best place to be because you're trusting in God. So in September, Sam's going to be on a supply teaching role. We're going to be praying every day. We've never prayed every day that we get work. So our faith is going to grow. And we're going to believe that God has great plans. And it's going to be absolutely awesome for what it is that we're doing. We're trusting God that the right door will open. So we're filled with faith, filled with expectancy. And we know that through this, God's going to build his church here. So you need to submit your plan, but you need to follow his plan. So I hope you're thinking and applying that to your own life. Why don't we invite the worship team up? We'll come into a close. Hope this is helpful for you. We want you to be filled with godly wisdom. So you're making great choices every day in your lives. Walking through doors that are closed is a very painful experience. Especially patio doors that you can't even tell if they're closed. Not that I've ever done that much. But if God has planned it to happen, it will happen. If God hasn't planned it to happen, then it either won't happen or it will happen in a different way than the way that you were expecting it to be. I want to help us this morning that if you've got plans, be willing and ready to allow God to shape those plans. There are going to be people in here who are going to succeed to do incredible things. Like, I'm talking big things. You know, there could be people in here who could become counselors, politicians, could become the next prime minister. You don't know who's going to be in this room for that. You've got people who are going to be speaking in front of tens and thousands of people, the word of God. You don't know the potential yet, but God can see that. You know, there's people in here that are going to make a million. They're the people that are going to achieve huge things in terms of what the world sees. But then there's people in here that's going to change a life because you're helping somebody. Could be that lady you helped to cross the road. It could be that person that you've taught in school, that some person that you gave that fiver to that you didn't know, but you knew that would help them. You're going to help people, and you're going to be a link in the chain to help somebody else discover the God-given plan that they have for your life. And I thank God so much for the people in my life now, because they have helped me keep on track to where God wants me to be, to keep dreaming bigger, to keep going for it. So I want to encourage us to pray. So why don't we close our eyes? Why don't we just for a moment pray? And I'm going to invite Andy to come and lead us in some more prayer as well. And, you know, if you've never made a decision to put God first in your life, to actually submit your plans to him, Andy's going to help lead you through that prayer and to make that decision, the best decision of your life.